We sure appreciate this family and appreciate Pastor Clinton Patterson, who has pastored now the Crossroads Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for 16 years. And my, how time has flown from since the time he was sitting right here at Crossroads Baptist Church, where he served as a deacon here and really had a heart for the bus ministry down in Berry Farms, Washington, D.C. And I was just down near that area just last week sometime and thinking about Brother Patterson and how he and his wife and girls used to go down that road sharing the gospel and seeing young men and ladies get saved and mentoring them and having a passion for them and a burden, filling up a bus, 50, 60, 70 people every week, bringing them to the Lord. What a blessing. Amen. Then God burdened his heart to go back to the area where he was from, right there in Memphis, and he has started a church that has a heart for souls and a heart for missions and a heart for young people, and their church has impacted a lot of lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like what a New Testament church will do in a community, and we certainly thank the Lord. We're glad that he's here this year and preaching the word of God for us and looking forward to what God is going to do, knowing that God is going to speak through him and minister to all of us. Amen. So let's welcome today the pastor of the Crossroads Baptist Church of Memphis, Tennessee, Pastor Clinton Patterson.
He said they got a brand new pulpit here. I said, praise the Lord. Looked like somebody done got it broke in already. Amen. But it's certainly good to be here this morning. I'm so glad. I'm just still glad to be saved. Amen. And if I wasn't saved this morning, I'd get saved. Amen. It's the best thing going. And I'm trying to get these knees settled down a little bit. But God has been good. And it certainly is just a privilege to be back here to see and have a part in what God has been doing for some 20 years now. It is amazing. Oftentimes you come to a COBA conference and it's hard to really see the magnitude of what's really going on. You have to look out through different states to get the full effect of it. Look out through many churches that's been established, and now you can reach across this country and see the impact. Often they come here and they say, man, what's going on? You have to get out there and see. It's going on. Lives are being changed. People are being saved. Churches are being planted. People are being encouraged, and homes are being strengthened. It's a blessing. Oftentimes, it's not seen, amen, but it's good to be here. Appreciate the opportunity to preach and share the word of God, and I feel like if I can just get this thing going this morning, this mother guy's come behind me and just drive his own home, amen. Appreciate that so much. I thank God for my family. Amen. Thank God for my family. It's my wife. Married 29 years trying to make 30. It's right. Raise your hand. And I really appreciate my children. And someone asked me, a young preacher asked me, he said, brother, what is your greatest asset you've had since you've been there in Memphis? And I said, undoubtedly, it's my family. My family has helped me. And it's easy just to take that for granted. And I do thank God for my girls and my son. They're not just helping just from a rah-rah room. They're involved, invested, and getting busy. Every week they're serving in some capacity, and it's easy to just take that for granted. And so I just thank God for it. I think the nerves is gone now. I thank them. Amen. I think the nerves is about gone. If you would, take your Bibles with me. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 2 this morning. I'm going to try to share what God led me to share. I'm going to try to share this, and I trust it'll be a blessing. Let me just say this before we go any further. There's nothing we can do about yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We can't change the last 5 years. We can't change the last 10 years. We can't change the last 20 years. But I believe we can have something to do with today and tomorrow.
Amen.
And so this, I'm saying that because I know what I'm going to preach. And so we're not looking back, we're looking forward. And so I believe what I'm preaching, going to try to share, I believe this. And I believed it for a long time, and so much that it has, it didn't help me. And so we praise the Lord this morning. Look with me there in 1 Samuel. Appreciate so much just to be here. Amen. Just to be able to share the word of God. Thank God for the influence. There, my daughters and my wife never sung in the choir here at Crossroads, but they've been influenced by it. And I used to run the sound for a little while here until somebody else took over, and I used to get that music and take it, and I used to copy all the music and create a music tape. And whenever we got on the road, we'd listen to that stuff. I'm talking, we listened to it religiously. And I remember back in 95, 96, we were I think we was headed down to Arkansas. And we was coming back. My girls were real small. My wife was singing. Man, we was having a time. I'm talking about a good time. I said, man, it sounded like to me, boy, we got a choir here already. But we used to listen to that same old stuff. Brother Mike, he can't appreciate it now. It's a wonderful day. That's praise. You remember that? Mike remembers it. And I know it didn't sound like that. If it did, we wouldn't have been trying to sing it, amen. But the music, my daughters never got in on it, but they got in on it. And from a distance. And there are some things, when I left Crossroads, I tried to take with me. And there are some things that I perceived that I thought were apparent, and I tried to take that as well. I don't know if it was really true or not, but I perceived it was. And so that's what I left here with, amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. We begin reading in verse number 22. The Bible says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they laid with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealing by all this people. Nay, my son, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. And if one man sin against another, the judge, let's read that again. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with man. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be a priest to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of my father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering when I have commanded in my inhabitations, and honoreth thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that they, that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honors me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be slightly esteemed. Father, help me this morning, Lord, to convey the message, Lord, that you've placed in my heart. I ask God that you might make the difference. Lord, empty me of self and fill me with thy precious spirit. Lord, that this might not be a performance but a demonstration of the power of God. Please make the difference. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for being standing this morning. Appreciate you for being here as well. Before I got married, one of my greatest fears in life, in my life, was that I was thinking in my mind that somehow or another, when I got married, I was going to somehow raise some thugs or some hoochimums. And that made me very afraid of some things. In so much that after I got married, my wife would say, I want to have a baby. I'm ready to have a baby. She didn't know it at the time, but fear, when she said those words, would come in my heart and would actually cause me to kind of tremble sometime, because baby simply meant to me responsibility. Baby meant to me you need to be doing right. You need to be establishing this type of testimony. And so when she said, I'm ready to have a baby, fear would come on. And oftentimes we get into a little discussion, heated discussion. And she wanting a baby. And I'm realizing, and I'm thinking in my heart, I'm not even fit to be a father. I'm thinking, Lord, if I have some children, I'm going to mess them up. Because I knew in my heart I wasn't committed to God like I needed to be. And I knew if outside of God changing me and changing my heart, I was going to mess my children up. And that scared me. And fear would come over me. And I can remember when we was at Crossroads, this 1988, I had went to Dallas working there for task force, and my wife called me. I had been there about a day, and she said, I'm pregnant. Let me tell you something. Panic. Seriously, filled my heart. I said, what? And fear came over me. Because right at that moment, I knew if I was going to ever try to serve God, I need to get my act together right now. It scared me. And so much that it caused me trauma. I'm serious. Because keep in mind, before I got married, I was thinking, Lord, I don't want to raise some thugs. I don't want to raise a bunch of hoochie mamas. Yeah. And I knew at the pace I was going, there's a good chance that was going to happen. Because I wasn't really committed to the things of God. The things of God was not as important to me as they should have been. But when I got that call, something happened. I realized it's time to put all the playing aside. All the pretense need to be put aside, because the need to try to live right and to do right. I was afraid. I didn't want to have another. I didn't want to have the police come get my boy. I didn't want that. And that drove me. And that fear, it handled me, because I've seen too much of it in my community. I've seen it, and I didn't want that. I didn't want to be a burden. I didn't want to be a burden on society. I didn't want somebody to come tell me, come get your boy. We got him down here in jail. And I said, Lord, help me. And my wife, I didn't tell her all of this at the time. She just told me, I want a baby. I said, yeah, it's more to it than just setting up, getting a bait. And that it scared me so much that, and about this time we at crossroads. I thank God. We had been married about a year and a half before we got here. I thank God we didn't have any children before then. I'd have messed them up. They wouldn't have had a chance if they'd have watched me. And by the way, that's who they watch most times. Wouldn't have had a chance. And I was afraid that my greatest fear is that I was going to fail my family. In our text this morning, we see Eli, high priest, judge Israel for 40 years. Long time. But Eli failed his family. And in the process of failing his family, he failed God. And that's what I want to kind of look at this morning. Strengthen us. We've seen the Lord in our home. We need to see the Lord in our home. When I look back on the early years of Crossroads, and I've been around here a long time. I've seen a whole bunch of things. I've seen and have known most of the men have gone out. And boy, I tell you, I don't believe we could have had a better group to go out and start these churches. And so we've seen the Lord. Well, I'm talking about, we've seen the Lord do some great things, raise men up. I remember when Kenny Simmons got saved. He told me he got saved that third. I was on the van, amen. I drove the van that night, amen. I can remember. And I can look back, and I remember when Brother Butch came in. And I was trying to head him off. Because most of the guys were trying to get in the choir. So, man, you come on right at the bus. Get on the bus. Every time a new guy would come, man, after they hear the choir sing about three times, they want to get in the choir. I was trying to get Brother Bus. I said, man, can you ride home with me? Help me take my children. Oh, amen. He didn't know I was trying to just steal him. Good. Amen. Come on. I was trying to get him captive. Amen. I said, man, it don't look like they got no room there on the platform, but there's plenty of room over here. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room. And so I was trying to not mess up nothing, because I could mess up stuff. I'm the kind of guy mess up some stuff if you ain't careful. But Eli failed his family. And I thank God for what I've seen here, the example and the pattern I've seen. In fact, it gave me a good start. And so much that I don't want nobody to call up here and tell Pastor, man, have you looked down and saw the Pattersons in Memphis lately? I'd be embarrassed to have been here and try to serve God some 20 years, and they look down there, now I'm doing something different. They said, you remember that Kobe guy? You don't even say Kobe around that guy no more. They doing something different. That guy don't even go to church no more. I'd be so embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed. But Eli failed his family. And we're going to look at this just a little bit here this morning. And you look at Eli, tremendous guy, for some 40 years. 40 years, he judged Israel and was a high priest. And I was reading here just a guy, I guess a couple of years ago, and I was talking to a preacher. And we got to talking about Billy Sunday. And most people know and understand that he was a tremendous preacher. And I read some things about his life, and it bothered me. Because he went, they said millions of people got saved, but he lost his family. I heard that he would say something like this, Lord, I'm going to go take care of your business, and you take care of my home. His three boys, George, I think the oldest one, committed suicide. And the things that he went around the country preaching against, his three boys was indulging in. I'm talking about, you hear preachers, you go to meetings, you hear, man, a Billy Sunday this and a Billy Sunday that. But he failed his family. He failed his family. And that bothers me. Because as I look here in the Word of God, God had, when we look here in just a moment, I'm trying to get these nerves out the way. They hopefully they're going to come in just a little bit. But Eli failed his family. His sons got involved in gross immorality. I'm talking about not only was they in sin, but the Bible says that when he went to rebuke them, it was too late. When he called them, and the Bible says that he already knew what was going on, but it got to the point where it was so bad that he felt like he had to say something. And by the time he chose to say something, it was way too late. Way too late. And then he's just like most of us, and some of the things just like Eli, so for some 40 years of being disobedient in his family, he didn't realize judgment would come. Sometimes we believe that because we've done it for so long and God hadn't said anything, he gave us a license to continue. But let me tell you something. The chickens came home to roost on Eli. They came. And he had to deal with this thing. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on what caused Eli to fail. What messed him up? We need to see the Lord in the home. We need our home strengthened today. Amen. And let me tell you right now, the devil wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy my home. And if he can, he will. In fact, every opportunity that you let him have, he's going to take it. He's not, if you leave the door cracked just a pinch, he's going to come in. And if he can't get all the way in, he's going to stick his foot in the door and look for a better opportunity. This thing going to, we talk about church planting. This thing is serious. When you start talking about going and leaving here and going into a new community and saying you're going to reach the world through that place, that's serious business.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, it's so serious, it's God's business. And you better understand that when God got some business, he's serious about it.
Yeah.
And this thing is so serious that we need to understand that this ain't nothing to play with. A lot of folks don't realize what's at stake here. I don't believe Eli realized that was what was really going on, because had he to realize it, he'd have took more caution. If we're going to see the Lord in our home, we got to do some of the things that I believe Eli, if we're going to see him in our home, one of the things we got to do is we got to assume the God-given responsibility of it. It's too much is overlooked today. We take too much for granted.
Right.
We got too many people not understanding what leadership is in the home.
Amen.
I was just reading and studying. I think I preached it here just a little while ago. All I really need to be bothered by is what God told me to do.
Yeah.
God told me to be the father. He told my wife to be the mother. He told my children to be in obedience.
Right.
And when I stand before God, he's not going to ask me what my wife did. He's going to ask me what he told me to do. When my wife stands before him, he's not going to ask her to give an account for what I've done. And if we got too many roles confused today, and a lot of homes today, we got roles that don't, it's confusion. Mamas don't know what. You know, I heard people say, well, if my husband won't do it, I do it. Let me tell you something. God ain't going, he ain't going to hold you accountable. See, we got to assume the proper responsibility.
Yeah.
See, leadership, I'm talking about the home, requires leadership.
Yeah.
It requires leadership. Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, says, for I know him.
Mm-hmm.
He will command his children and his household after him.
Right.
We know that. We know, in fact, what do God know about us in that area? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That seems so simple, but it's some deep stuff there. And when you start talking about proper leadership, you start talking about making sure, you're talking about training, you start making sure that your children, your family understand what the mandate is.
Yeah.
This thing, when you get it, when you say you're saved, bless God, God expects saved folk to live right. God expects mamas to be in the proper role. And I'm talking about dads to stand up and lead. And there's so many men today that are afraid to lead. Wife stand up against them. Mama-in-law stand up against them. And they just bag down. Let me tell you, you're going to stand like Eli did. You're going to have to give an account. The Bible says that they might set their hope in God. They can't set their hope in God. We got to realize when the Bible tells us to train our children, he's not joking about that thing. A lot of folks, well, I took them to church. I brought them to Sunday school. Let me tell you something. Training, it really talks about catechizing them to the point where when you teach them something, you go back and see, is it working? Let me put it down where you get it. When you start trying to teach your children and train your children, you got to, every now and then, you got to get a spiritual to the mama and see where they are. Because if you don't ever test the waters and see where they are, about time they get 18, you say, man, what happened there? How did that happen? I'm talking about we got to see and understand and ensure that our children acquire a spiritual appetite. I see my 6-year-old boy, he don't like church. I need to investigate that. I got my daughter, she don't like going to Sunday school. She's coloring. She's 13 now, she's still coloring. Mama and daddy got to investigate that. The youth pastor, let me tell you, he just is trying to pull the cream on the top of what you already done. Tell me the youth pastor ain't doing his job. Let me tell you something. The youth pastor just came on board. You see your child don't have a desire to serve God and don't want to come to church, and you got to bait him and make him and prop him and beg him and plead him and give him ice cream after church before he have a desire to go. Something is wrong there. Something is wrong. You got to create a spiritual appetite. I'm talking about you can't wait till they get 13. They're knucklehead then. I'm talking about when they're 6 years old, when they're 4 years old, when they're 3 years old, they ought to have a longing and a desire to want to go to church. Yes. And if they don't, you about to find out why they yes. don't have it.
Yes.
Because we're losing too many.
Yeah.
We're losing way too many. Way too many. I believe we ought to have a standard of God established in our children's heart. What that is, some people don't understand what that is. Let me help you with that. When you have a standard of God in your life, it simply means that the Word of God has veto power in your life. I'm talking about you done got the Word of God in you, and as you go different places and you encounter different things, and the Spirit of God will say, nay, yes. See, when the Word of God has been established, I'm talking about to the point in your life where you it has some veto power in your life. It's for faith and practice. It ain't just what you talk about. It's what you believe and what you do. It comes a time in the life where we got to, my job as a leader, I'm talking about having the proper leadership. We're going to see the Lord in the homes. We got to make sure that our children love the things of God. And by the way, they're going to do what you do, not what you say. We're losing way too many. Way too many. We need to establish a standard. We need to have the proper leadership. We need to get a vision for our children. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? You need to see your children serving God somewhere. Your boy, your girl, when they grow up, let me tell you, I like little league football and basketball, but let me tell you, if they love that more than they do church and the things of God, you in trouble. You're going to be disappointed one day. I love all that stuff. My son played basketball a couple of years ago. And let's be honest, he ain't a basketball player. He didn't know what was going on out there. They run down there, he's looking around. I said, play some defense, man. I said, look, if you can't shoot, out hustle everybody. I said, get the basketball. When it come off, that's a rebound. Get it. About the fourth or fifth game, he started to realize what was going on. Then baseball came up. We signed him up, paid $50 entry fee. He was going to play. You know, we're trying to get him out there a little bit. Then we saw the schedule. And I asked my son, this is kind of a litmus test threw out there. And I said, well, do you really want to play? Now, they practice at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. That's time he go on the bus ride. The games is at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. That's time choir rehearsal. Uh-huh. And I said, what you want to do, son? He said, Dad, I can't miss the bus ride. I'm in the choir now. Can't miss that. Mm-hmm. And I said, son, I'm giving you an opportunity. And he helped me that day. He passed a test that he didn't realize I was trying to administer to him. I was trying to see where he was. He wanted to be in the bus ministry more than he wanted to play baseball. He wanted to sing in the choir more than he wanted to play a game. He said, Daddy, you can't do that. One of my close family members told me once, it hurt me when he said it. He said, boy, your children are going to hate you one day. That was early on. But time done helped us now. You know, time done come, done made a circle. Now he looked at me and he looked at his children. Woe is me. But he told me, in fact, I don't call no names. Another person told me, you're going to mess your children up. You homeschooling them. They're going to be so messed up. You're going to mess them up. They ain't going to know how to socialize with nobody. Don't know how to talk to nobody. You're going to mess them up. I'd rather let them get messed up for Jesus than let the stinking devil mess them up. If we're going to see the Lord in the homes, we got to assume our responsibility, proper leadership. I'm talking about it's got to be some proper training. We got to get a vision for seeing our children serve God. And by the way, look, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, here's one of the issues, one of the main things that we find that is lacking many times. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Bible says, For now the sons of Eli... For the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Have you seen any evidence in your children that they saved? Eli didn't. He didn't see what was going on. He ruled 40 years. You tell me this guy, he done had a part in help training Samuel, but he trying to train somebody else, but he has some issues at his own house. I said, Lord, now why would the Lord let him get in on Samuel? Having a part in training him, developing him. Then his boys ain't even saved. That's some deep water, isn't it? Yeah. And let me say this as well. I there's certain things I believe. Oftentimes, and tremendous ways I get encouraged by people many times is when I know the history. Men that have greatly encouraged me is men that have children and their children and their children serving God. I like to see men that their sons and their grandchildren serving God. In fact, most of the men, now I won't say most of them, many of the guys I've had to preach, if I try to find out, do you got some heritage? because my family need to see somebody done picked up this generation and went, and then they family done picked it up, and this next family done picked it up. That encourages me. It's good to see Dr. Baldwin. I was looking on the internet one day and saw Cameron leading music. That kind of stuff helped me. Somebody serving God. I'm talking about it got to the point where mom and dad had done it, now son want to do it. Look, it didn't look like they was trying to make him do it. That encouraged me. I remember back in 1989, it may have been a few of y'all was here. The pastor had me give a testimony on an anniversary service. And I said something like this. I said, one day, I had Venetia. And I said, one day I want my children to serve God. One day I want them to get in bus ministry. I want somebody to say, them Patterson girls run the bus route. This is long before I just had Venetia. Now every Sunday morning, I look up them Patterson girls running the bus ride. Getting up early, staying late. And I'm not trying to tell you how great mine are, but I'm just trying to tell you what I believe. And I believe Eli should have believed. And see, look, if you would, look in verse 27 here. Let's deal with this a little bit. I'm just about to run out of time. The Bible says in verse 27, there came a man of God unto Eli. Notice where the Bible said the man of God went. He didn't go to Eli's wife. He didn't go to his cousin. Didn't go to his pastor. He went to Eli. That's responsibility. He didn't deal with this peripheral thing. He dealt with the source. See, God knew what he had told him through the lineage of Aaron. He realized, man, God had already told him and chose him and his sons to carry this thing forth to serve God. And he reminded them of that. And the Bible says, and there came a man unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto thy house of thy father when thou was in Egypt and in Pharaoh's house? As Brother Gamble would say, from the get-go. From the get-go, Eli knew what was on the line. He knew what the expectation was. And by the way, we need to know and understand what the expectation is. When we start talking about church praying, the expectation is high. The expectation is high. Now, notice what the Bible says. And he says, and I did plainly appear unto thy house of thy father when thou was in Egypt and in Pharaoh's house. And did I chose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be a priest to offer unto my altars to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me. He simply says, and when God started to deal with him, called him up on the carpet about his family, he said, let me tell you something. From the very get-go, you've known what the requirement was. And you stank this place up. Boy, that scares me. It makes me afraid. Because I've been knowing from the very beginning the requirement God has placed on me. And if you're a Christian, the same requirement God has placed on you. This ain't just about a pastor. This is about a Christian. The expectation that we might have a perpetual generation of folks coming behind us to serve God. Yes, sir. He was challenged. He knew from the very beginning. From the very beginning. You don't have to turn there. But over in Judges chapter number 11, we see where a man didn't have a good start. Jephthah. He didn't have a good start. The Bible said he went to the land of Tob and a bunch of proud men. He was with the wrong group. I'm talking about he was kicked out of his family. I'm talking about he come out of a dysfunctional family. But when Israel needed a man for leadership, he called him. And he came. And in the heat of the battle, he made a vow to God. He said, Lord, if you'll help me win this thing, he said, the first person I see, when I get home, I'll make a sacrifice to you. And when as he approached his home, he saw his daughter first. He said, oh! And his daughter trying to figure out what's going on. And he says, you're troubling me. What's going on, Dad? And this is what he said. He said, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord. And this is what we can know about what kind of man Jephthah was. because of the response of his daughter. She said, "Dad, if you'd have made a promise, a vow to God, you got to keep it. Regardless of the consequences, you're a man of God. Dad, you've never gone back on what you said you're going to do for God. If God brought the victory, you just got to do what you got to do." Now, most folks would have said, "Dad, now that's between you and God." I wasn't there. I was at the house. Don't come here with that. We ain't finna have this kind of stuff. Now, but what you and your God doing, that's fine. But now, we ain't finna do that. But the proper leadership, the proper example, and the proper testimony, when he said, "I've opened my mouth," all she said, "Dad, do what you told God you're going to do." Well, that's deep water. I'm talking about that simply means that he had won his family. He had won their heart. They had a heart for the things of God. That's important. That's important. God wants us to understand, and let me hurry up here real quickly. But if we're going to see the Lord, not only do we got to assume the proper leadership, but we must understand that God want to be honored in our home. God want to be honored. If you would, look in verse 30, if you would. Turn there, if you would. The Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I say indeed that thy house and the house of thy fathers should walk before me," notice this, "forever." You get to the point in our life where we think if we just serve about 10 years, it's good enough. Man, I've been faithful for 15 years. Let me tell you, the Bible says forever. It's the house of thy father should walk before me forever. And now the Lord said, it says, "Be it far from me, for them that honors me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be esteemed lightly," and lightly esteemed. God wants us to have obedience in a home and to honor him. God want us to take the leadership, and we need to try to honor the Lord. The problem in Eli's home was the Bible says that he honored his children above God. That was a sin. He loved his children more than he did God. Let me tell you something, folks. That's the wrong thing. When we love our children, we love our wives, and we love everything more than we do God, that's a problem. God is a jealous God. I've seen here at this church, and we've done a few at my church. Over the course of years, we've seen baby dedications. I can't tell you how many babies was dedicated at that old building, and I've seen some here, and we've done some. And you know, so many times I've seen people that come down here and say, "Lord, help us raise the children." 3 years later, they forget they ever was down there. Their children want to do something. "Dad, I want to do this." Hold on, we went down there. We gave you to the Lord. We was down there, and there right before the whole church. It's amazing how many of them came down here you can't find. It's amazing how simple that process is, but I believe it's profound. When you say, "Lord, help me raise this child for you." So many came, and I remember at Crossroads, we lady came and said she wanted a baby dedicated, and I preached the whole message on her. When she told me that, I said, "Let me tell you something here. You saying you want God to help you, but you got to take lead on it. God's going to help you, but he ain't going to do it for you. You got to take the lead." And this thing, and she came about 6 months, and she just kind of fell through the cracks. I said, "Hold on. God need to be honored. You made a vow to God, bow before the church. If we're going to see the Lord in our home today, we got to try to honor him in our home. And because when we don't honor him in our home, we bring reproach." The Bible says that Eli, when the sin of his sons got out, the Bible says that he caused the children to transgress. He caused others' lives to be messed up. That's a problem. That's a problem when the leaders' children are messing up. It caused Israel. And the Bible says that Eli knew what was going on. He didn't do anything. He's just kind of hoping this thing blow over. He's somehow hoping this thing wouldn't run its course and end. He heard his dad's. He heard his ministry. His children heard his ministry. That's why I've tried to do all I can, all I know how, to help raise my children right. I didn't want to have to get up and try to preach something, and my children, they done boxed me, and I can't say nothing. I can't say this and can't say that. Don't be doing that. Don't be going over here. And don't be going there. Please don't do that. And by the way, the Bible says all Israel knew about his boys. Let me tell you, when you start trying to preach to somebody and your family's messed up, you done got boxed in. You done got boxed in. I told my daughters and told my son, I said, don't embarrass your dad. Don't fix it where I can't preach. I want full liberty. When I get up here, I don't want any restriction. You know, the restricted area. Can't say this. Can't go there. Stay away from this. For long, you get up and all you can say is, Mary had a little lamb. This thing about this leadership in the home, the reproach, Eli boys brought reproach to his ministry.
Yeah, that's right. That's good, brother.
His effectiveness was gone.
That's right, brother. That's good, brother.
When God called him out, he dealt with Eli. He didn't deal with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when we get called out, he's going to deal with us.
That's right. That's good, brother.
This thing is serious.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is very, very serious. If we're going to see the Lord in the home, we got to assume the proper leadership. We got to seek to honor him. And then thirdly and lastly, and we'll make this quick, we must realize there's consequences. There's some consequences for disobedience. Eli knew. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 18, God simply says that he'd get somebody else. He said, God said, I'm going to raise up a man that's more faithful.
Yeah.
In essence, what he's saying is, if we want to see the Lord in the home, listen, if we don't understand there's consequences, God, we could disqualify ourselves.
Right.
Eli paid with his life. His boys got killed. His boys ran and got the ark. They lost. There's a battle going on. They say, hey, let's go get the ark. Hey, man, that's all we need. Let me tell you, you won't use God. You won't manipulate God. You can try to put it on and try to make it look good. And by the way, they did it for 40 years. It looked pretty good. Kept just jumping up, just pretending. They looked like they had some spiritual going on. Let me tell you, time caught up with them. And the Bible says that he told Eli, he said, I'm going to judge your home. And I like this part. He said, that he know of. That's deep. When the Lord say he's going to judge you, it's coming. I'm coming. Hey, because let me tell you something. Because God is long suffering. That messed a lot of us up. We got away with it last year. Everything seemed to be going good this year. Just hold on. God's faithful. And the Bible says that he's finna, look, you don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but he simply says, I'm finna find me a man that'll serve me forever. Often you hear people say this, it really don't take all that. It don't take that much of it. We need to turn there now because I done said that. I need to go on over here now. Look, if you would. This thing is serious. Looking at it. The Bible said that God was going to take him, going to call another man. that's going to go forth. And if I go read now, I'm going to stay there. I'm look like I'm not sure how much time I got. But God pronounced judgment on him. He told me he's going to get somebody else to do it. And the Bible says that when he did, Eli come to see him if he was going to be still living, but he died. He'll be coming to see him and asking him, can I do something? See, this thing is so serious about this thing of leadership in our homes that there's consequences behind this thing. We don't realize that we could eventually, God could disqualify us and get somebody else. You say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, next year, if you don't get your house right, it could be you're not even in the ministry. This thing is serious. Let me tell you, I'm afraid many times that we done like Eli because of the longevity of some things. We forget that God is still faithful. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to deal with us. And I'm afraid if we don't start honoring the Lord, assume the proper leadership and understanding there's consequences, we're going to be just like Eli. He failed his family that led him to lead to fail his God. God said from the very get-go, I intended for your family to be there to make the sacrifice and to do call them to the high priest to do those things that is laid out that serve God forever. In essence, Eli should have been training his boys to carry on. But he didn't. And it cost him. And we know the story. When Phinehas' wife came at the end, after her husband had been killed, then Eli, when he heard that, the ark of the Lord was gone, he fell over and died. He was a big man. Fell over and broke his neck, and he died. Phinehas' wife was pregnant. And she said something like this, the glory of God has departed. And called this boy named Ichabod. I don't know about you, that makes me afraid. That helps keep me straight. That after serving 40 years, at the end of it, my grandson is called Ichabod. That bothers me. I'm still young at this thing. I've been in it for a little while. I don't want to see my boy Josiah have a son. They won't call him Ichabod, but that's what he'll represent. The glory of God has departed. That's some tough stuff to deal with. He said, preacher, I'm trying to tell you what God put on my heart to share this morning. When I got the email, God says, I was already looking there. He said, and you said, family. I said, wow. And then, by the way, I'm not trying to tell you my family is so great, but we serve a great God. Amen. And I'm trying to do all I can and all I know how to do, that I won't end up like Eli. I don't want my grandchildren to be called Ichabod. The glory of God has departed. Sometimes my daughters get out of line sometime now. And I get out of line, I'm just slightly. And I looked at them and I asked them, I said, what did I go wrong? What did I do? What did I fail yet? I mean, I'd be laughing, but I'd be serious. See, this thing bothers me. I'm talking before I got married. This thing, this fear. I don't want to raise no children. That's not going on to God. I want them to serve God. And I've done everything. And by the way, I've tried to make serving God fun. Try to make it easy. I remember when I first started preaching, we went somewhere to preach went down and way back in Tennessee somewhere, way back in there, and the guy had me come preach, and they gave us a $37.85 love offering. And And I was kind of discouraged just a little bit. And I said, well, I don't want my children to get discouraged. We took that $37 down there to Dairy Queen and ate ice cream. $37 worth of it, amen. We bought ice cream all night. Trying to encourage them. You know, even though I was a little discouraged, I didn't want them to go home like daddy, discouraged. So we made it fun for them. They don't know the difference, amen. They just know they got some ice cream. But I don't want to see. I don't want to end up like an Eli. I want my grandchildren. I want a heritage. If the Lord should tarry, I want my family serving God. I want them living for God. And I'm kind of putting myself out there a little bit, but I think that's what we need to do. Somebody need to be held accountable. And by the way, everything I preach, I believe God can help us to get done. Father, help us this morning. Thank you so much, Lord, for the warning, Lord, in the Word of God. Make the difference today. And we'll praise you for all that you do. Bless those that will come behind us. In Jesus' name, amen.